Welcome to Insight Aviation, helping you to take a look inside the world of captains, aerospace professionals, air traffic controllers, and much more. Learn how they got started, where they are now, and their advice for aspiring aviators. This series is brought to you by Wayman Aviation Academy. Learn to fly with a safe, reliable, professional academy, located between Miami and Fort Lauderdale in sunny South Florida, USA. Enjoy the training and cosmopolitan life with Wayman's 42 aircraft, 6 airline partners, and 2 bases to help you be the captain. Good afternoon. Welcome to this live recording of the Insight Aviation podcast. We're going to start with a little video while we allow our audience to join, and then we'll get started with the presentation.
Be the captain.
Be the captain.
Be the captain.
Welcome to Wayman Aviation Academy.
The thing that sets Wayman apart from other flight schools here, basically the location, fleet size,
being able to provide high quality training.
They have the resources, they have the fleet, they had everything I was looking for to start my career as a pilot.
Wayman is a very airline-oriented operation.
The Academy offers complete ab initio flight training programs and courses.
Get to know each student, because each student is different.
Wayman Aviation Academy operates a large fleet of more than 40 airplanes and full-motion flight simulators.
Here, maintenance is priority number one, and we take pride in what we do.
Realizing your dreams at Wayman is within reach.
I choose Wayman.
I choose Wayman.
I choose Wayman.
Wayman Aviation Academy, developing the skills and attitudes for safe, successful, and professional pilots around the world, changing lives through aviation.
Hello and welcome to the Insight Aviation podcast, where we bring you air aviation professionals from across the spectrum, captains, air traffic controllers, and great pilots like Robert Arkin, which we have today. I've had the pleasure of knowing Robert Arkin for the last several years. He is a prolific pilot flying here around South Florida. He was the first person to take me to the Bahamas a couple of years ago when we did relief flights for, I believe that was, what hurricane was that?
Dorian.
Dorian, Hurricane Dorian, of course, right? So, Rob, please introduce yourself.
Hey, everybody. I'm Robert Arkin, a native of Miami Beach. I've been flying for about 10 years. And I'll go through a little bit more of what we've done here over my 10 years of experience. But I'm a fixed wing and a helo pilot, commercial in all aspects of flying, single, twin, multi, single, multi, and rotor. So I fly pretty much 4 to 6 hours a week as a hobby, and that's what we do. We just have fun.
Excellent. So for the couple of people that are in the Zoom, let us know in the chat where you're from. I'd love to have a better idea of where our audience is right now. And feel free to ask any questions you might have in there, either in the chat or in the Q&A. Same thing for our audience on Facebook. Go ahead and put your questions in the comments, or so we can refer to them. I do have Gian over there keeping an eye on the questions. So this is very exciting for me, Rob, because I gave myself a personal goal, right? I got back into flying over the pandemic pause, right? I hadn't been flying a lot. And then I started hitting it hard and flying a lot more. And so I told myself that this winter, right, which is the nice time of year to fly in South Florida, the rest of the country is putting their aircraft in the hangar and buttoning up for the winter. And here we are enjoying it, right? So I told myself, yeah, it's beautiful. And we just got our first cold front came through. And I told myself that I wanted to fly to the Bahamas more, right? So super interested. I want you to basically walk me through, like, a buddy pilot, like, what do I need to know to learn how to fly? I know you've got a presentation ready and you've given this before, and I'm just really excited to tag along.
Eddie, thank you for the invite. Really appreciate it. I do this for the love of flying and for the love of giving people some information that they'll find useful. And I believe the presentation that we're going to do today will give a lot of insights and preparation for any trip to the Bahamas. It's pretty simple. It's fun. You can select, you know, your short trip, your long trip, whatever you want to do, whatever you feel comfortable with. You know, I've got answers for you for all aspects of flying into the Bahamas.
Excellent. Well, without further ado, you want to go ahead and start through the presentation, and then we'll kind of build our questions around that?
Yeah, I'm sharing my screen with you. Let me see. Did you get it up yet? Or no?
I see it. It's coming up.
Okay. Let me see.
And for those of you that are listening to the podcast afterwards, if there's anything visual, I'll try to describe it for you. But I think it's mostly going to be about the conversation.
Yeah. So this is the easy way to fly to Bahamas. You can have the learning curve, or you can follow my suggestions, and you'll have a real simple flight over there. I started flying about 2011. Received my license in 2012. Purchased an airplane. I've got 2,000 hours of flying, as I said, commercial, all. And my first trip to the Bahamas was 1971. And I've made over 110 ocean crossings, visited Freeport, Bahamas, Abacos, Nassau, Andros, Luthra, et cetera, et cetera. I've done 188 airports in my 10 years. I've been 19 in Bahamas, and I've landed in every public municipal airport in the state of Florida.
Congratulations. That's quite an achievement. And I like that this is the easy way to go to the Bahamas, not the hard way to go to the Bahamas.
Yeah, simplify it for you. This is my bird. I call her Chitty Chitty Bang Bang, and she takes me to where I want to go. She's pretty reliable. This is Staniel Kay in the Bahamas, probably one of the most beautiful places I've been in all of my travels. And this is the five-star hotels that you can find over the Bahamas. Don't expect luxury, except if you're going to Nassau. Expect fun, relaxation, beautiful beaches. If it's feeding time, you can either go with the sharks or you can go with the pigs. That's over in Exumas, so I just want you to know. That's me. My wife is climbing up off of the stairs in the left picture. She didn't like the sharks too much.
No, thank you. But the pigs are pretty famous, right? Where are the pigs? Are those in Staniel Cay?
Yeah, that's in Exumas. It's in Staniel Cay. Yeah, yeah. So you can fly directly to Staniel, or you can fly down and stay in one of the other places and fly to all the various airports. I think I landed in every single every landings trip that was there on in Exumas. As I flew back, I landed in all of them. It was a lot of fun.
And I understand there's basically like a landing strip on every island in the Bahamas, right? Like it's kind of rare to not have one.
Yeah, you know, I'll go through that. But, some of them are not favorable for some beginner pilots to have a little bit more experience. And we'll go through that so that, everybody has their own limitations. And what do you feel comfortable with? And we'll go through that. So figure out what you want to do, your destination, where do you want to go? What island do you want to go to? What do you want to do? Do you want to relax, deep sea fish, scuba, swim with the pigs, gambling? So you pick out what you want to do, determine how long you want to be over the water, because some people don't feel comfortable being over the water for 2 hours or 3 hours. Determine which location will be best landing direction that suits your flying skills. And east-west runways generally are the easiest, and that's in San Andros, Bimini, Nassau, and Freeport. Those four places are pretty simple to land because you're landing directly into the wind.
Can I give you a scenario? Everything's very scenario-based now, right? Let me give you a scenario, right? I am a private instrument-rated pilot. I want to fly more with my family and kids. Got a wife and two boys and a 172, right? So let's keep that in mind as we walk through this. Like, what should be my first flight to the Bahamas?
Well, the first simplest flight to the Bahamas is direct to Bimini. Bimini is about 30 minutes on 172. The runway is east-west. It's a long runway. They kind of updated it a little bit. And you go over to the north or south parts of the island, and they got great conch. There's a little casino over there. There's a nice hotel over there. It's a great little day trip. I used to go over there to get some conch salad, but it's a very expensive conch salad. It's about $200 for the conch salad.
Instead of a $100 hamburger, the $100 conch salad.
Well, there's a $200 conch salad. Sure. It's fun because you're like in a different country in no time at all. The next one, pretty simple, is Freeport. Freeport's about 45 minutes away. I took you to Freeport. It was a pretty simple flight. And then you can go to Great Harbor, which is about an hour away, which is just northeast of Freeport. That's a pretty simple one. You can grab a burger just off of the runway there. And then nice little beach. There's nice places to stay up there.
So it's about pushing your envelope a little bit bigger every flight.
Yeah, exactly. You don't want to start off, making that 2 hour flight or an hour. No. Yeah, it's 2 hours to get to between an hour and a half and 2 hours to get to Nassau, depending on the type of plane that you have. So, you want to get your feet wet, get a little accustomed to it, the paperwork and stuff, and see how easy it is to get over there. So there's a couple of things that you want to do, and I'll go through all of these items as we proceed through the slideshow. You want to complete an arrival manifest, a departure manifest, fill out all the Bahamas stuff. We print 3 copies of each, call the U.S. Customs, and all of these things are items that you need to do in order to make it easy for you. I always like to the arrival and departure manifest is quite simple. You either go on the government website, which happens to be very cumbersome. There's another program called FlashPass, which, if somebody emails me, I'll try to get them, a 3 month free trial for it. It works out really, really, really well. You can create your manifest in 30 seconds, basically, and it prints out everything. But we'll go through that a little bit more. You need to basically call customs. So you're going to do your arrival and departure manifest before you leave. Then you're going to print out the Bahamas arrival departure declarations and arrival forms. If you don't do flash pass, you print 3 copies of each form. You call the customs before you leave. But we'll go through each and every one of those so that you guys have a scenario on when to do it and how to do it and what to do. Okay, so okay. We'll move on a little bit. This is your flight plan. You can do a flight plan on 4Flight. Sure. Pretty simple. You just want to make sure if you're going VFR, you want to file it as a DVFR. And coming back, you want to make sure that you file your flight plan. You don't necessarily on a VFR flight plan need to open your flight plan. You just need to file it.
So quick question for you here, because this is new terminology for you. What is a DVFR?
There's domestic and then there are foreign VFRs. So VFR, you file a DFR, a VFR regularly when you're in the United States, but when you want to fly there and back, you have to file the DVFR. So it's just another thing that you can click in 4Flight. It will stop you once you in 4Flight. If you want to file the flight plan, if you don't file the right one, it will say you need to file a DVFR. So you won't make a mistake on that one. That's for sure. They don't let you make a mistake. So before you leave, what you need to do, and basically you have to make sure you have your radio license, your transponder license, which means there's a little every year you have to get a sticker. It's $27. You go to DTOPS, CBP, and they'll go ahead and for $27, they'll send you one. Once you get the paper, they'll send you a receipt. You can keep that with you. You don't need the sticker. But when you come back into the country, customs is going to look at your airplane. They're going to see that you have a sticker. If you don't have the sticker, they're going to kindly ask you, do you have a sticker? If you don't have a sticker, there's a little bit of a fine. So you want to make sure you either have the paper that you paid for, okay, or you have the sticker located on your plane. FCC.gov for the radio license, okay? Once you've selected your destination time of departure, you must fill out the following, a USA Customs EAPIS. And that's the form that you have to go to.
The famous EAPIS.
Yeah, so it's there's 2 ways. You can go to EAPIS, CBP, DHS, or download the FlashPass on your cell phone. The government site is not user friendly. I can tell you, I've spent hours and hours and hours on that, and I came across this guy. There's another company that also has it. I find this one pretty simple. You take your passport, you scan it in. Somebody sends you a picture of their passport, you can scan it. It automatically scans in. You just take the picture, it goes up on your phone, and it fills in everything on the phone that you need.
It's called FlashPass. I'm looking at it in the App Store right now. I'm downloading it as we go.
Yeah. Okay. Make sure you always answer that you're for pleasure and not for business. Okay. when you go for business, you will be given a little bit of a hard time. And it's a matter of the paperwork and fees and all of that stuff. So just say, I'm going on vacation. Set up an account with your username and password. They almost every month, so don't forget your password. That's when you go to the CBP, the IAPA CBP. They change the passwords. If you don't use it for a month and a half, they change the passwords. And again, it's kind of a pain in the bus. You fill in all the information for the pastor's crew, passport information, blah, 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 all of that stuff you have to put in. You save the department manifest in order to create a return manifest. So if you're on CBP and filing the EAPIS, the freeway, there's a way that you can clone the manifest and then use it for your return trip if you don't want to go with the program.
Okay.
You definitely need a departure and arrival manifest. So make sure you have those with you in case the government doesn't have it on file. You can show them you have proof that you did it. Sorry about that. Okay, absolutely. Let me see. Be careful if you're traveling on certain types of visas. Sometimes you have these student visas that you can't fly over there. So just make sure, call customs before you go. Opelika, Fort Lauderdale has one, Fort Lauderdale Exec has one, and Miami Exec, which is Tamiami, has one, also West Palm Beach. They all have where you can call them up and they'll give you information. Not the nicest people in the world, I can tell you. But you know, they're in power, they wear a gun, and you know, they're guarding our entries here. So just make sure that you can re-enter the US, okay? Yeah. You can go on different passports. Don't get me wrong, but just call them and make sure, because you don't want to be there as they take you into custody and you spend a few hours with them as they interrogate you, which they have done to a couple of people that I know. Okay, so I personally use a flash pass. Once you've scanned your passport, scan a picture of your passport, it's very easy to create an arrival and clone a departure manifest. It's simple. I did one last night. I'm going to Eleuthera on Saturday. I did the whole thing in 5 minutes, and you can print up everything. Everything gets sent to you automatically filled out. So you don't have to, it's brainless. It's really brainless, and it's worth money, I will tell you.
Sure.
You always want to make sure you make three copies of each of these forms. You don't know in the Bahamas what they're going to take, whether they want one form, two forms, three forms. But if you have three forms, you're guaranteed to be good as gold, because if not, fill out another one, okay? Because they don't like making copies. They don't have copy machines there. I need you to really be specific. This is right now, during COVID, things have changed a bit, okay? It's not as bad as it seems. But you want to go to travel.gov.bs and you want to apply for a health visa. It will give you all of the requirements. If you're vaccinated, you can get a PCR and a speedy PCR antigen test. I did it last night. It took me a few tries. I did three times. They denied me three times. And then the fourth time, it worked. And then my wife's, I just submitted one time and it worked for her immediately.
Why would they deny you?
What's that?
Why would the application for a health visa? Well,
if everything, if all your T's are not, your I's aren't dotted, sure. It's, again, this is the Bahamas. Whatever the reasons were, it took me four times. I got it. Now, my wife got it the first time. So that was good. You'll need either a PCR antigen test or a PCR test, even if you're vaccinated no more than 5 days before you leave. So just know that they're really keen on vaccinated, visitors.
Okay.
If you're not, you still can go over there, but there's probably a 3 or 4 page thing that you can read. That will go ahead and let you, give you all the information you need. Make sure you sign the forms, as the immigration customs sometimes are not friendly. This is show, okay? They're all very nice. Just be friendly and smile and don't make any American jokes because they just don't get it, you know? I've been through them all. Just be serious. You know, they're some of them are nice, but generally you just got to be careful. And just so you know, that all of the islands do things slightly different. They don't get the memos from island to island to island.
Okay.
You may be on one island, they'll tell you, oh no, you need the C7 form, and the other island you need the C7A form. And you know, there's an extra, you know, fee on something. So you know, just be ready, be prepared. And that's just the way that it is. These are the ports of entry.
Sure.
Okay. So these are a list of all the ports of entry around us. Okay. So just
The phone number. This is all places where there's a customs office.
This is where the customs offices are. Yes.
Okay. So notable. I mean, basically, it's most of the airports in South Florida, except for North Perry, Pompano. Yeah, I think that's it. And the Marathon also is a port of entry.
Marathon is a port of entry only, and they're open certain days.
Oh, right.
Sometimes it's by appointment only. So I know when I went to Cuba the second time, the Key West one was closed and I had to go to the Marathon one, but I had to call from Cuba the number. The lady was super nice. We flew in there. She took a peek in my aircraft. And then, you know, had a little, you know, she asked me if I had any cigars. I told her no, but I did have three cases of liquor, which she didn't absolutely say anything about, you know, three cases of liquor, no cigars. So they're good with that. So you can take
this is a notable point, right? You can leave directly from any airport, but you have to enter through a port of entry that has a customs office. So I'm based at North Perry. I can leave from North Perry, but I have to come back in through Opa-locka or Executive.
Correct. And again, in Cuba, you know, going to Cuba, it used to be that you had to leave from a port of entry.
Oh.
Going to Cuba. That may have changed since, but you can't go to Cuba now anyway.
That's true. Cuba. Yeah. We're talking about the Bahamas here.
Okay. Not all islands in the Bahamas have ports of entry.
Okay.
You will need to clear the port of entry before flying to your destination. Make sure you keep copies and receipts of all your documents. Pretty simple. You know, San Andros, I think, the Exumas, I don't think have a port of entry.
Hmm.
So you have to clear in Andros and then fly to the Exumas.
Okay.
A good one. And the gas is cheaper. The fuel's cheaper in San Andres than it is. So you might want to pick up a few gallons of fuel before you fly over and back. Save you a couple of dollars because the fuel is between $7 and $10, you know, depending on which island you go to.
Interesting.
I'm sure somebody's getting a VIG off of it. okay. This is the airport information. For the ports of entry. These are all of the airports and the coordinates. And then you have all of the phone numbers for NASA, Freeport, et cetera, you know, that you may need, you know, when you're over there. So I always say take a picture of this slide because it's really helpful.
So all the Bahamas airports start with M, of course, just like all the U.S. airports start with Kilo.
That's correct. That is correct.
All right, good phone numbers. Where would, so other than the slide, where do we find this kind of information?
I spent hours and hours putting this together. You got to look. There's a Bahamas kind of like map thing you'll see.
The book.
There's an easy guide to Bahamas, but it's not so easy. You know,
I remember that book. I'm pretty sure we still carry them in the pilot shop over here. They probably have in the pilot shop here at Wayman and at Banyan, of course.
Yeah, we're hoping to see something here. Okay. Now, this is, one more back. This is the EAPIS receipt, okay? So when you file your EAPIS, it's going to go ahead and send you an email back that has all this stuff. And it says, you know, who you are, where you're arriving to, where you came from, which is Grand Bahamas. They received, they processed it, and passengers, there's one passenger and two crew. So they get this. They get this before you leave the country. All right. So that being the case, you just kind of make sure that you have that in your possession before you leave. Okay. Now, very interesting. All of the airports have ICAO codes, okay, which starts with an M. But then there's the IATA codes, and the IATA codes are the ones that the Border Patrol or Customs require before you're going out. So they'll ask you when you call them up, where are you going to? Well, I'm going to Freeport. Well, what's the IATA code for Freeport? It's FPO. It's not MYGF. If you say MYGF, they go, where's that?
Okay. How would they do that? They don't even match.
Uh-huh. No, they don't. They don't. Customs doesn't care.
Why?
The flying stuff. They don't care about the flying stuff. They only care about their three letter codes. Okay. So this is the airport codes for the Bahamas, and it's kind of important that you know that, because
right.
They'll just look at you and they'll just say, you know, call me back when you got the number, when you got it. Some are helpful. Some are. Okay. How to fill out the general declarations. It's pretty simple. You want to know your pilot's name, passenger's name, your co-pilot's name. Now, I would suggest if you're going over with two people, make it a pilot and a co-pilot.
Sure.
Okay? Don't make it a pilot and your wife, because they treat you a pilot and your wife differently than if they treat you pilot, co-pilot, okay? So you want to put crew members, you put one or two crew members, how many people are departing, you know, how many people are going, these are the passengers, and how many people are coming back, okay? So, and then you have to sign. Everything you do, you have to sign. This is all done for you on flash pass.
Nice.
Okay, 100% of this is done. They send you it, you print out the three copies.
Okay.
Now you have two forms when you go in. This is always in a confusion. I mean, seriously, you know, I've been in there, I don't know, 60 times, maybe more. And the C7 and the C7A form, okay? The C7 form, they used to take from me. It's like, okay, this is, you know, good for us. I went to West End in Freeport, West End, and they go, no, you need to give us the C7A. Well, if you use the C7 form, they charge you $75. If you use the C7A form, they charge you $50. Okay? So the C7A is owner-operator is commercial. So if you have, say, for instance, a lot of us own our planes and LLCs and different forms, and we don't own it in our own names, okay? And you just want to put owner operator as you know personal, okay? This is going to be sure. This is personal. So really, the C7 is the form for commercial. The C7A is the non commercial form. So just make sure you carry both, so you can say, okay, let me just switch them. You know, no, that's it's $50. No, it's $75 here. Let me switch it. So
that's interesting. Okay.
Yeah. Okay.
Sure. The aircraft general declaration. They seem like the same thing, but you're saying one is for
same thing. It's exactly the same thing. it's crazy.
Love that bureaucracy.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right. And then you have the general declarations. Okay. This is printed out, by the way, from flash pass. So this is what they give you, a flash pass. Pretty simple.
You're starting to sound like you're a sponsor here by FlashPass.
You know what? It's
it should be.
So easy that, you know, I push it only because, you know, if you have it, you'll be going to Bahamas every weekend.
Nice.
If you don't have it, you have to fill the paperwork out. You know, you may reconsider after your first time filling the paperwork out on the CBP one, the APIS. You'll think twice about it. The Bahamas Customs cards. You have to fill that out. There's two pages. There's a front and a back page. You fill that out, they'll stamp it, they'll give it back to you. You have to give it to them when you leave, they take it, they take it back from you, and you tell them where you stayed, et cetera, et cetera. It's pretty right. simple. We should grab a whole bunch and leave them in Wayman so that people go over there, they take a couple with them to fill them out. I always fill everything out before I leave. I keep sure. them. When I go over there, I take 10 or 15 of them, I stick in my backpack, and I fill them out when I go.
Okay. Now,
T minus.
All right, it's the day of. We're going to go to the Bahamas. What happens 1 hour before?
T minus 1 hour, right. So you want to obviously pre-flight your aircraft. Make sure the week before, the aircraft has its current annual oil change, tires, and fluids check. All right. Okay. Make sure you bring a few quarts of oil with you. It's very expensive over there, if they even carry it. Make sure you have all your safety gear, life vests, rafts, radios, extra batteries for your iPad. You want to have that survival food and water for a day or so. I always say it's better to take an umbrella
yeah,
and it doesn't rain than not to take an umbrella and it rains. So go ahead.
So that's a good point. So for a lot of people, it's their first time over water for any extended period of time. So you're required to have life vests, right?
Yeah.
No, you're not required?
You do have to have life vests. You don't have to have a life raft.
Don't have to have a life raft. Okay. Uh-huh. So there's like the cheap yellow ones, and then there's the nice survival gear ones that you wear while you're flying.
Well, you can go to Outdoor World and buy them. They're $75 or something.
Okay.
Some $75, some $100. You know, it depends on what you want to buy. They're more comfortable. And you know, I always put my whenever I fly over water, I always put my life vest on before, because in case of an emergency, you don't want to be putting your life vest on when you're trying to fly a plane. Okay.
You're talking about the low profile ones, the survival gear ones. Yeah.
Absolutely. Okay. And same with the helicopter. When I fly the helicopter, I always fly with my, I fly for the Coast Guard. So I fly with the Coast Guard ones with all the gear in it, knives and stuff like that.
Nice.
I always take a knife with you when you're flying over water, because you want to be able to cut your belt in case something you do end up, going in a drink. You want to have that knife to cut you out of your belt.
Make
sure you've called customs and received your landing rights code.
Landing rights code.
And I'll go a little bit more through that. File your flight plan, which is your outward bound. I always file my outward bound and my inward bound flight plans, and then I change them. All right. When you go to Freeport and Nassau, they require you to have a flight plan before you leave. Okay. So they do coordination. You should have filed the VFR and IFR, and if an VFR, make sure you ask for flight following. I always fly flight following, no matter what, no matter where I go, I do flight following. Even if I fly the helicopter and I'm going a long way, I fly with flight following. Make sure you're 3,500 feet, because at 3,500 feet, they can hear you. Anything lower than that, you're not going to get them.
That's a good note. Now, in the flight following, it covers the Bahamas pretty well.
Until you get, Freeport, there's sometimes a 10 or 20 mile range that they can't get you.
Right? Okay.
Don't be scared.
Sure.
All right. Just wait it out. When you get closer, the radio signal will come in clear. As just an advice, when you go out the first time, you write the radio frequencies down as you're going out, because when you're coming back, they're going to be the same exact radio frequencies.
Okay. That makes sense. Yeah.
So you just keep a little list, and then when you come back, you go, what was that radio frequency? You have it all. You have it already. If you write the radio frequency down as you go out, you just reverse it as you come back. You reverse it as you come back in.
Makes perfect sense.
Make sure you're familiar with all weather conditions, and you should call flight services to get your weather briefings. Things change rapidly in the islands, and then you just rock and roll. Weather is really important, guys. I can tell you, if the weather will pop up. Generally, when you go to Freeport, all of the weather that we sometimes get is off of Freeport.
Huh.
The weather develops right off of the island, because you have the hot island, and then it goes over the water shelf right on the edge. I've flown down Freeport, and there's a cloud from one end of the island to the other end of the island, just at the edge of the island.
Interesting.
One absolutely just long cloud, 3,000 feet, and it's there. It's, I would say, almost every single time I go.
So That's a good question. So are there common weather patterns like that? So like, you know, South Florida, we know that there's going to be afternoon showers developing from the Everglades and then moving eastbound. It's similar?
They're quick. They're very, very quick. They go through very, very quickly. And listen, you can fly around them, you know, just don't fly at night. I mean, you know, when you fly, I would suggest nobody flies unless you're a professional pilot. You've got a twin engine airplane and you're really good. Don't fly at night over the water because it's black as can be.
Yeah.
You know, I've been in it where I've been in weather, severe weather, you know, completely black. And you know, thank God I have autopilot because it gets pretty taxing when you're in turbulence and stuff.
So stick to daytime flying with Bahamas.
Stick to 100%. And they won't allow you to leave VFR from the Bahamas at night. Don't do it. You will die. Okay. You know, it's that dangerous. All right.
It was flying through a black void. Yeah.
Don't test your luck because that's not a good time to be testing your luck and your skills. Okay. Remember when you arrive in the Bahamas, you want to call the closure flight plan in Nassau. These are the radio frequencies, 124.2 and 128.0. Make sure you call, because if you don't call, they're going to be calling around for you.
Yeah.
And it's about $250,000 when they send out all the aircraft to find you.
Okay. Yeah, I'll come looking for you.
So just be, you know, you can close on the radio. When you get down, remind yourself, close your flight plan if you open it. I don't open the flight plan when I go out. Okay. When I come back in, I ask them to close my flight plan when I come back in, but I never open it up going out.
Really? Why is that?
Because I'm the flight following. There's no need.
That's a valid point. Okay.
Right? So once and they're going to give me a squawk code and the customs just wants to know where you're going.
Sure.
So that's why you need that.
So it's really more about filing them and giving them a heads up. Flight following is going to give you your actual coverage. What about on the flight back?
Flight back, you're going to be with Nassau Radio.
Okay.
Or you'll be with Freeport Tower.
Mm-hmm.
There'll be a small little gap, which I think it's 133.5. You'll be out there and they'll say, you know, radio frequency, change radio frequency, squawk VFR, and then you contact Freeport Tower. Okay. Okay. There'll be, you know, maybe 10, 15 miles in which you're going to be flying, you know, by yourself, and you just keep on calling until you hear the tower. You just tune it in, you listen, and the minute you hear it, you call in. They will, and when you get to Freeport, they don't have any radar. So you have to know pretty much where you are, how far out you are, coming from the southeast, coming from the northwest.
Sure.
You know, you just got to know where you are and let them know, because they will ask you. They'll ask you 10 miles out. They'll ask you 5 miles out. They'll ask you when you hit the shoreline.
Is there a ADS-B coverage out there, Stratus?
Yeah.
Okay. So you can see whether you can have a good GPS in where you are.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Great.
By the way, have your passports, keep your immigration papers in a separate folder or an envelope, bring with you to clear. Have your passports in your hand. Each passenger should take their own passports. Don't give them four passports at one time. Say, these are the four passports. They don't want that. They want to see your face. They want to see the passport.
Okay.
Bring cash and bring, if you guys don't want to walk away with Bahamian dollars, bring small bills.
Okay.
Because you will walk away with Bahamian dollars that you may not spend again. You know, but you'll keep it in your drawer, but you're not going to spend it again unless you go back there. So, okay. So bring small dollars, you know, dollar bills, fives, tens, twenties, you know, and for tips.
How much should you expect in immigration and departure tax?
I'm going to go through all of that.
Okay.
Be polite to immigration, be polite to customs,
yep.
Secure your plane. All items that are valuable from your plane, don't leave anything in there. They may disappear.
Mm.
Shut down your batteries, make sure nothing is left on. Lock your plane, tie it down. Bring your own chocks would be a smart idea. I do.
Okay.
Lock your plane up. You'll be away from it for a few days. So, you know, it's like leaving your purse, you know, in an empty, in your car, in the front seat.
Right. Yeah, don't leave those bows in the front seat, right?
Right. No, exactly. Okay. Runways. So we talked about runways, you know, how you feel about flying in there. So flying the Bahamas can be quite tricky if you're not used to crosswind landings or comfortable to execute in executing the runways. Pick the east-west runways, as I told you before, because the landings can be some challenging. You know, I've hit 35 mile an hour winds with some crosswinds. Yeah, and what I've learned is I do short approaches. I never land if there's an east-west wind and I've got a north-south runway. I'll always come in on a short approach. I have the least amount of straight time, and I just fly it right into the runway. That's how I fly, I don't have palms.
Those are the Atlantic winds rushing over, and so they're all east-west.
Right, and again, what happens is, when you start flying in, you may be above the tree line, and all of a sudden, there's no wind. The tree line. And all of a sudden you come down 10 feet like immediately, and like, oh, you know, what happened? So you're gonna be really conscious of that, you know, when you're going on these north-south runways, because it will affect you. Like I said, winds are generally east-west. They can be strong and gusty. They can be swirling and shifting as we go along. So be aware, always remember something, you wanna point your ailerons into the wind as you're flying, okay? And do that on takeoffs, because when you get above the trees, it will hit you, and your plane will go ahead and kind of flip a little bit, and you'll get all nervous. So if you hold your ailerons in the proper direction into the wind, you'll be good. The runways are not well maintained; they could be debris and objects. Bring a spare tire and a tube and tools to change it, including a battery powered air pump. All right, guys, that's important. You know, I've been out there and I've lost a tire. It's not fun. But if you're, you know, they don't have parts and stuff out there. So if you're on a remote island, you're going to be asking a friend of yours to be flying in. But if you have it with you, you can change it up. Okay.
That's interesting. So is it kind of like grass field landings where like you overfly the runway, make sure there's nothing there, and then you land? Or
speaking of stuff, if they don't maintain the airplanes over there. You got screws, you got wires, you got all sorts of stuff. You got, you know,
little
things. Falls out of the trees. You got car parts. You got, you name it.
Wow. Okay. All right.
You know, hurricanes go through there. The winds blow up. It blows a piece of metal across, and you know, you cut a tire.
It's worth learning how to change your spare tire.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, listen, when you go to Freeport, you go to Nassau, not a problem. If you go to Northern Lutra, not a problem. If you go to Governor's Harbor, a little bit of a problem. So there's some areas which are a little bit more flexible and easy to do stuff. The bigger airports, San Andros, you know, it's got nothing out there. They have a trailer, you know, and most of them don't turn the electric on. Okay, you walk in there, no electric, no air conditioning, no nothing. You walk in there, you're lucky if you have lights to go to the bathroom. Okay.
All right.
Many runways are surrounded by trees on all sides. Be careful to adjust speeds and account for the changes in wind direction and speeds on landings. You will be surprised during your descent. That's fine. You know, the wind drops out of you and you come down a little bit quick. So just land with a little bit of speed. Okay. Interesting. Here we go with it. We talked about all those departure taxes, custom fees, all of that. Okay. As we said, cash is king. They don't take credit cards. So anybody going over their credit cards is going to be working. I had a friend of mine who took somebody over there. The guy didn't pay for the fees. And a lady at the airport said, I'm going to take you downtown and I'm going to work you. You're going to be a prostitute in order to get out of there. So this is a good friend of mine. He's a young guy. That was with him. She said, "I can't get nothing for you. So, you're good. I'm gonna take a good looking one." It was funny. Departure tax is $29 per person. Don't take $30. Take $29, or you know, because when they give you change, it's going to be Bahamian change. Mm-hmm. They give you a dollar back. Bahamian change.
Super useful when you're departing.
Yeah. Okay, the tax for the airplane is $50 per airplane, unless you're flying on the C-7 form. The C-7 form, it's $75. this is great. Security fees in Bimini, they charge us $7.26. That was, you know, that was a year ago. Who knows what it's going to be today? But
very specific. $7.26. It's very
$7.26. Yes. Okay. $7.26. Give them $8, and then they'll go, no, we have to give you the change. And we don't want the change. No, we have to give you the change. I don't want the change, you know? So give it to somebody you care about. The crew's not charged, generally. Bimini, everything is $5 per person in Bimini. So if you get off the airport to get to a taxi, you pay them $5. To get on the boat, you pay $5. To get to get another taxi, it's $5. There's $5 per person per ride.
You get a stack of $5 bills.
Okay, and that's the same thing coming back. If you go to North the North Island of Bimini, it's going to cost you, I think, it's about $20 back and forth. And, you know, they have a it's a racket going on there. Okay. So taxis are about $5 a person. Everything's $5 a person. So just figure $5. That's why you take $5 bills. I haven't visited all of the islands, so things may be different on each island. Always expect the unexpected, so be prepared. Ramp fees are sometimes charged to Freeport and Nassau. I went, they charged me $250 the last time I went.
For a ramp fee?
For ramp fee, yeah.
That's
they go ahead and they kind of like help you with the papers.
Okay.
If you go to Odyssey, they help you with the papers, and you get a big bill, you know, when you're done.
Right. So, that's their flight planning desk where they file everything for you.
Yeah. Yeah. So they come out and, you know, and the next thing you know is, okay, it's, you know, $250. And again, it was 150, you know, a year ago. Now it's a little bit different. I flew over there with 350 pounds of food for a big yacht over there. The tax on that was $3,000.
Oh,
on $27,000 worth of food was $3,000 in tax.
Huh.
Yeah, it was pretty crazy. Fuel at a minimum $6.50 a gallon. When you go, you have to get the health visa. That's travel.gov.bs, and you submit your forms. You'll have to go there and get a health form before you leave the United States, if you're vaccinated or unvaccinated, as I said.
So I can see how that turns into a $200 conch chowder really fast. Now, is the health visa, is it good for like a year, or is it every time you go?
It's good for every time you go. It's a health
every visa. Time you go.
But the nice thing is, it's health visa and insurance. So it's like an insurance fee, you know, for them. But notwithstanding that, once you go into the system and you have it, you just have to add trips. If you want to add a trip, you're already in the system, but you're still going to have to pay the $40. It's $40 when you're vaccinated. I don't know what it is when you're not vaccinated. These are all the islands, guys. These are, you know, this is everything, all of the islands, all of the distances, all of, you know, everywhere you want to go in the Bahamas, this is it. Okay.
Okay.
I haven't been to Crooked Island. I've been as far as Exuma, okay, Andros, and all of the other islands. All of the other islands from north of Exuma. I have not been down further.
All right, let's take a moment here, right? So clearly, Bimini is the nearest stop, and what you recommend everyone do for their first trip, just 30 minutes away.
Bimini is here. It's
yeah.
55 miles.
Yeah. Okay. Super close. Now, that being said, just the health fee alone for a family of four, like my situation, it's $160 just for the health fee, plus the registrations, all that stuff, right? So you're committing when you're doing this, right?
There's no doubt. In the Bahamas, they get you everything. But down here is Opa-locka. Basically, you have Opa-locka Airport over here. Sure. And it's about 46 miles, I believe.
Yep.
So it's really quite, you know, quite a short trip.
Yeah, 46 miles.
Bahamas is a little bit longer, but you know, again,
sure, 95.
It's under an hour. It's under an hour. It's
right, because the
20 minutes.
The second stop you recommended was Freeport, which is right there, Grand Bahama.
Freeport's nice. Freeport's very nice. My favorite. I like the best is Exuma. It's just spectacular stuff on there is spectacular. Northern Eleuthera has pink sands.
Oh, I've heard of that.
Governor's Harbor, you go there, and literally the sands are pink.
Cool.
Absolutely just spectacular.
So that's been a big thing, you know, because I grew up here in South Florida. I learned to fly here in South Florida, and I've never flown the Bahamas. And it's kind of one of my big things. Like, I gotta do this. Maybe it's not the right moment with all these extra COVID fees going on right now.
Well, it's going to be there for a while. It's going to be there
forever. Get used to it, right? Suck it up.
Yeah, because once something starts in the Bahamas, it stays. Hmm. They're very hard to change. This is the islands. These are just, big islands. Nassau is pretty simple to get into. They got east, west, and north, south runways.
Okay.
Grand Bahamas is a east, west runway.
Yeah.
So is West End. West End, you have to call in advance if you want to go to West End. And I think you may have to be invited or something like that. But West End, I landed there about 2 months ago, landed at West End.
Okay.
Andros, we go San Andros, which is the first one.
Yeah, I see it. Interesting.
Okay. The weather in the Bahamas, right? Weather and what is it saying? You can read it better. Yeah.
What? Yeah, weather in the Bahamas. Yeah.
Yeah. So, make sure you call the Miami direct number. Just so you know, write this down. It's 233-2600. And that way you don't have to call the 800 number and tap, 123, whatever. This goes direct. This goes direct. It's, it's something that I learned 10 years ago. Hmm. It's helped me ever since. Okay. Weather buildups, as we say, they develop quickly. Storms and clouds are the norm. Expect there to be weather on the route. I've flown there many times. I flew there with you. There was some weather on the route.
Yeah, there was some clouds. Yeah.
Yeah. You can navigate above or below the clouds, file IFR if you can. Mostly all of my trips have been VFR.
Okay.
Getting weather in the Bahamas is difficult, so find your nearest Wi-Fi and update your four flight Garmin and aviation weather, okay, before you leave, okay? I cannot stress this more. Do not fly at night. It is extremely dangerous.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
And then this is the Bahamas weather brief numbers.
Well, how's Bahamas weather brief different from flight services?
They tell you the same thing. Basically, they tell you the same thing.
Okay, but it's over there.
Yeah. Got it. Okay. Coming home. Okay.
Best part of leaving is coming home.
Yeah. You always have to figure coming home. Where? I can't. File your VFR, IFR flight plans with Bahamas first, then the U.S. If in Nassau, you'll need to call departure and get your clearance. There will be a radio there for you to call directly to ground, and they'll take your clearances. IFR flights and leaving out at night is only permitted out of Freeport and Nassau. Inbound IFR, Freeport and Nassau, check Freeport if available. Call ground for taxi instructions if in the Exumas, Freeport, Nassau, or any other towered facility. Most of them don't have them. But those do.
What do you mean they don't have? As in they don't have taxi instructions? They don't have like a ground frequency? What do you mean they don't have them?
Well, they, first of all, it's mostly common area traffic. Okay.
Okay.
So listen up. Pay attention. Situational awareness is very, very important when you're flying. It's like the Wild West out there sometimes. So just be careful. Just kind of dial into the radios, because most of the commercial flights out there are on the radios, on the radio frequencies. They're listed on the sections.
Okay.
Make sure when you're in uncontrolled field to be diligent on your radio. There we go. Calls as the traffic in the area may not know that you're there. That's a guarantee. I've been taking off and there's a plane been landing. Okay. Same time.
And they're just not talking on the frequency, so it's on you to just be chatty.
Yeah, exactly. So it's just beware. That was during the hurricane. I mean, we had two planes landing at the same time on the runway.
Wow. Okay.
So it was pretty crazy. Check weather carefully before you go. You said Bahamas weather brief. You got most important. Contact Miami Radio 15 minutes before entering the EDIS. Really important. Okay. So you want to get on flight following and call in. I think it's 133.5. But you want to make sure that you contact them, you get a squawk code before you enter the ABIS. Okay.
Okay.
If you enter the ABIS, you enter the second line of the ABIS, which is the westerly line of the ABIS, you may get a visit from one of the F-18s.
Mm, the Makos?
Yeah. Yeah. They kind of like, you know, picking out people who cross the ABIS. So just be careful with that. You have to be, you know, on radio with them, so they have to hear you and know when you're coming in. Okay. And flight services is 126.7. You got to have a discrete squawk code coming into the U.S. And ask for flight following the minute you contact Miami Center. Okay. So that's just my suggestion. It's pretty, okay. It's pretty easy. I mean, it sounds like it's long winded, but you know, this stuff is pretty easy.
We've learned it trial and error.
Yeah. Safety and survival over the water. Okay. So we talked about this a little bit. You want to get your life vests.
Okay. Right?
You can rent a raft. If you want to rent a raft, here's where you can rent a raft. I've researched it and this is what it is.
Okay. Aviationsurvival.com?
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Are they local here in South Florida? They ship it to you?
Yeah, they ship it to you.
Oh, okay. Nice.
Yeah. Maritime radio is suggested. Handheld VHF radio is always suggested.
Okay.
Waterproof flashlights, maritime survival kit, snacks for a few days in water, mirror reflector, personal emergency locator. If you, you know, they have small ones. Your plane must have 12-inch letters. Don't fly an experimental plane with small letters. You will have an issue. All planes must have transponders over there.
Okay.
And I always take a satellite phone with me, and you can rent one.
Sure.
Yeah. You know, when I go longer trips, even though, you know, listen, if you have to drop in the water, you know, sat phone's kind of nice, you know?
Sure. Absolutely. Yeah, it's definitely something you got to consider about because you are out there and have to be self-sufficient. Should you end up in one of those little islands with no resources?
Yeah, exactly. You want to find you as quickly as possible, you know? Necessities. As we say, fuel is expensive. Cheaper places than Andros. Service and repair, very spotty, only the big islands, and they're expensive. Battery parts, batteries and parts, you cannot get parts on the island. If you ship parts in, they charge you duty on those parts. Service your plane before you go. Bring things that are important with you, okay? This is not the United States. Bring your medicines with you and double check before you go. Do not bring a gun.
I guess it has to be stated.
If you have a gun over there and they find out that you have a gun over there, you will get arrested. That's a guarantee.
Because it's legal and registered in the U.S., but it is not legal and registered in the Bahamas.
You also have to, if you do bring one in your plane and you come back in, that has to be registered with the customs before you go out.
Ah, interesting.
You have to register it and have papers when you come back in, because I had somebody who flew with me, didn't tell me they had a gun. And, you know, we were there for about an hour sorting it out.
Mm, right? Extra fun.
The guy's one of our best friends because I kept him out of jail. you can buy liquor over there most places. Don't bring liquor. Okay? It's cheap enough.
Sure.
And there's liquor stores.
All right.
Okay. Basic med, things you should know. Basic med is approved.
Good.
Can you bring your pet? Yes, import permit is required by the Agriculture Department. Can you bring a gun? Absolutely not. If they find you, they will arrest you. You are in a foreign country. The rules are different over there, so act accordingly. Is seafood safe in the Bahamas? 100% safe and delicious. Try all the conch fritters, conch salad, fish fry, or grilled conch. It's all amazing.
Excellent.
As we say, red skies in the morning, sailors take warning. Red skies at night, sailors delight.
Okay. And
enjoy your sunsets, guys. This has been a pleasure talking to you about how to get over there. If you have any questions, I'm Captain Rob. You can get me at robert@arkngc.com or you can call me. Happy to talk to anybody and help them out. I've helped hundreds of people out going to the Bahamas.
This is super interesting. For those that are listening on the audio, it's robert@arkngc.com. Phone number is on there. I'm not going to share the phone number on the podcast, but I'm sure they can reach you through email. It's probably best. Now, great. This is super interesting. We went through a lot of stuff. I know it's the end of our hour, but I want to kind of pick your brain on a few things. For anyone that's watching on the Facebook or in the Zoom, feel free to pop up any questions there in the chat and we'll go through them right now. So very interesting. All right. So what we've learned is best places to start, a lot of paperwork and fees that are involved in getting going. And so I'm kind of curious. So the Bahamas is very active in the GA community, right? I met several of them at Sun and Fun. I believe they have an office here in Plantation, right? Where they kind of reach out to a lot of people. And there's actually several Bahamas ambassadors, right?
There are. I tried to be an ambassador after my 50 or so free flights over there for them. And trained about 100 people how to go over there, and I'm still not an ambassador. I probably train more people than half the ambassadors.
Well, you're doing a great job of it now, right? I was actually looking at the list of ambassadors, and some people that I've known for years, I had no idea they were Bahamas ambassadors, but it makes sense. So myself being a relatively inexperienced Bahamas pilot, zero experience, one-time experience Bahamas pilot, right? Would you recommend butting up with somebody like yourself that has done it before and, you know, take that first flight before I fly with the family and kids?
100%. Really 100%. You don't want to have a learning curve when you're going over there, because flying is hard enough.
Yeah.
You know, there's plenty of people that go over there. There's a Bahamas Pilots Association that you can join on Facebook. A lot of information on that, and you know, I'm on that as well, and I get contacted by people.
I'm gonna look that one up. Yeah, so that's a great way to go. That's true, because as soon as you include, you know, that first passenger, the wife, the kids, the stress level shoots right up. Right? You don't want your wife or husband or significant other saying, "I told you so." Right? He or she will. And you want them to have that great experience, so they want to do it again, right? And then go to the next island, and then the next island, and then the next island with you. You know, your wife flies with you all the time, right?
My wife, I can't get her out of the left or right seat, depending if it's a helicopter's left seat and my plane's right. And she flies. She will fly my plane, and she will fly the helicopter.
Very nice.
If I need a break, she'll fly the helicopter.
Have you done any Hilo flights over there? I mean, is that a thing?
Yeah. I mean, my helicopter's been over there three times.
Very nice.
I have not flown it myself.
Okay.
Somebody else took it. I leased it out to somebody because they were doing a fishing tournament.
Interesting. All right. Spotting fish probably for the...
I had been avoiding going over to the Bahamas during COVID because, you know, the rules were changing.
Yeah.
I would make a trip and they close it down, you know, and so it was spotting. Now it's definitely not as bad. I mean, now they have their systems down and they're good to go, you know, with this health visa, you know, situation.
Sure.
Quite simple, but before I'd have a trip planned, and they close down, you know, the hotel, they close down the airport, or you know.
Well, it was a crazy year. Yeah, I remember from one week to the other, it would open, it would close, it would open, it was closed. There was a moment there we didn't know what the situation was with the Bahamas. We have a lot of students, of course, in the Bahamas, but they're so that's actually a notable here. So our flight school, our aircraft are required to stay inside the U.S. We do not fly the company aircraft to the Bahamas. That being said, though, owner operators, of course, you're welcome to take your airplane wherever you want. Make sure you get that. What was it called? The EPA sticker?
It's a transponder sticker, basically.
Transponder sticker, right? And then, but there are some people that will rent aircraft and allow them to go to the Bahamas. I know Rent and Fly, Martin out of Opa-locka, was doing that for a while. I don't know if he still does. One of the biggest issues for renters or people that are renting their aircraft is they don't want their aircraft to be abandoned in the Bahamas because they got a flat tire or something like that, right? Some guy flies it over there, gets a flat, and says, "Well, I got to be back on work on Monday, so I'm airlining back," right?
Which has happened here. Somebody flew to Orlando, you know, guy had a bad time, busted class B, and drove home.
Yep. Oh man, yeah. That's a bad day for everybody.
Yeah, he's not flying anymore.
But it's one of the jewels here of being a pilot in not just South Florida, but I think in Florida in general, right? Because anybody, you know, whether you're in Orlando or Tallahassee or anywhere, I've got a cousin from St. Petersburg that likes to hop over to the Bimini because it's not really that much farther than just flying here to South Florida.
It's about 2 hours.
Yeah, I mean, it's still a significant flight, absolutely. But it's a beautiful destination.
Yes.
Now, I want to say he got stuck in some situation with with EPIS, where they made him turn around and fly back to Freeport or Bimini, do all his paperwork so they could come back in to the U.S. They're serious.
He forgot his EPIS. I'm telling you, paperwork. You know, if you get flash pass, it's already done for you. All you got to do is print out 3 copies and you stick them in a folder and you take it with you and you got everything.
Let's hover there for a second, right? So you mentioned FlashPass several times. I downloaded it, and the first thing it asks you to do is to set up an account. You said something about like a promo code or referral.
If somebody wants, to try it out, okay, have them email me. I will go ahead and I'll contact the right person, and we'll get the account, set up. I know on the last two webinars that I did, there's about 30 or 40 people who actually signed up and got their,
nice.
I think 90 days.
Well, count me in. I'd love to get the promo code and try it out. I'm going to give myself a goal here here we are basically October, right? Before the end of this year, in the next month or two, I want to do that first flight over to Bimini, I guess, and go from there. Yeah. Hopefully maybe even do one with you, and then I'll do one with the family.
Yeah. Well, if you want, let me know.
Then again, you're pretty busy. You're always flying, right? But okay, so interesting. This all reminds me, especially the maintenance side of things. It reminds me of the story that I used to hear all the time. The DC-3s flying out of Opa-locka, that all of their crew are required to be pilots and mechanics. Because if they break down over there, they got to fix it to get it back.
No question.
And those birds fly every single day. Those DC-3s flying every single day to the Bahamas.
Listen, know your plane, know your limitations. Start off baby steps. You don't want to take off more than you can chew.
Sure.
If you're not familiar with crosswind landings, you need to go to Freeport or Freeport NASA or Bimini. The other ones can be quite tricky.
Yeah, with a 35 knot wind, that's significant.
Yeah. But again, I figured out, for me, a safe way for me to land the plane without, crabbing, 30 degrees into the wind, trying to land, 30, 40 degrees into the wind, and then trying to straighten out. Once you get down below the trees, it's pretty simple. But if you just glide it right in, you cut out going straight on the runway and just, in there crabbing the whole way in. It's not fun.
So practice your power off 180 is what you're saying.
You could do power ons or power offs.
Power ons is better, I would think. Yeah.
I typically will land with power in the Bahamas. Okay. Yep. Because there's enough wind to kind of slow you down, but I do land on the longer runways. You've got plenty of room.
Excellent.
I think there's only one in Exumas. They have a very, very short runway, super short. We landed and taken off from it, my wife and I. So
excellent. Well, we've kind of come to the end of our time. This is super enlightening. I feel much more prepared and knowledgeable now when I tackle this, because I think it's a notch that any pilot, especially here in Florida, it's one of those big ones that you're looking out for. Like, everyone wants to fly to Key West. Everyone's got to fly to Disney, and everyone's got to fly to the Bahamas.
I wanted to fly to Cuba, so I waited 50 some odd years to fly to Cuba. I flew there twice. That was my goal. My goal as a pilot was to fly to Cuba. I was a 22nd plane to land in Cuba, and my plane was actually the first plane, and Cuba let us know, it was the first Cherokee 6 ever to land in Cuba.
Wow, that's a special one, man. Something to put up on the wall. Yeah. That'd be interesting. I certainly hope it opens up again, because it's only, 90 miles past Key West, right? So you're looking at a nice cross country to get down there, but it's got beautiful everything as well. Well, with all the fun and adventures, I love this. This is a special one of these podcasts, because like I said, usually it's like captains and air traffic controllers, and you are certainly proving yourself in your wings. It's just starting from a point of passion to now being a commercial pilot and really kind of stretching your wings in a different direction. I don't know a guy that flies as much as you. Honestly, you're up all the time. And I thank you so much for sharing your knowledge with us.
I do work. Okay, I do work.
Got to pay the bills. Got to pay for all that fuel for those $200 conch fritters.
Oh, yeah.
All right. Well, thank you so much, Robert. We know how to reach you, right? It was Rob@arkingc.com.
Yep. All right. Thank you, Eddie. Thank you for inviting me. Appreciate it. And I'm here to help.
My pleasure. It was really fun. All right. Thank you. And everyone have a great flight.
Take care, y'all.
This series is brought to you by Wayman Aviation Academy. Learn to fly with a safe, reliable, professional academy located between Miami and Fort Lauderdale in sunny South Florida, USA. Enjoy the training and cosmopolitan life with Wayman's 42 aircraft, 6 airline partners, and 2 bases to help you be the captain.